Today on From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve, learn what gifts of the Spirit God has given you.
It's amazing how many people don't know about spiritual gifts. They just say, well, I'm not sure what that is. And I don't know if I have a gift. I don't really know. I don't know what it is. And so it stands to reason if you don't know much about the gifts and you don't know what you're here for and you want to have such an excitement about living because you have purpose, then you need to get to know spiritual gifts.
When the Holy Spirit comes into a believer's heart, he comes bearing gifts. You can even think of them as spiritual birthday gifts. Well, exactly what are these gifts and how are they to be used? This is From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve. And today he's going to reveal the empowering truth about these special gifts and their purpose in the body of Christ. The lesson is entitled, The Gifts of the Spirit. And the message is from the Revealing 9-message series, The Unknown God, Discovering the Person and Power of the Holy Spirit. We're airing messages from this series all this month, and this series is our gift of thanks to you for your support this month of any amount. You can find out more about that at fromhisheart.org, where you can hear any past broadcast. Now, let's get started. Open your Bible to the book of 1 Corinthians and begin to understand the power and purpose of the gifts of the Spirit in your life.
What does God want us to know about this thing called spiritual gifts? I want to share with you 3 lessons from the verses that we read. Lesson number 1, spiritual gifts can be confused. Lots of people confuse the use of spiritual gifts and the understanding of spiritual gifts. And the reason that it can be confusing is this, because the devil gets involved with that. He goes to where there is work being done by the Holy Spirit of God, and he goes to try and stir up trouble, to try and steal and kill and destroy, to try and make crooked the straight paths of the Lord. Now, he was doing that in Corinth. Well, one of the things that they had brought into the church was part of this mystery cult religion, the activities that they did in the mystery cult religions. And so these cult religions, they'd have people that would get into these trances, and then they would start to speak, and sometimes it would be babbling, and sometimes it would be soothsaying and stuff like that. Well, that was part of their pagan background. That started coming into the church. See, because the devil works to muddy the waters and lead people astray. It says in verse 2, you know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to the dumb idols. Dumb doesn't mean stupid. It means that they couldn't speak. To the mute idols, however you were led. You were led astray. You were carried off captive. Well, that's what the devil wants to do. He wants to muddy the waters. He wants to lead people astray. And the devil tries to counterfeit the work of the Holy Spirit, because the devil's a counterfeiter. The devil, you watch as you read the Bible, you watch how the devil will do, see what God does, and then he tries to counterfeit. Well, he does that in the church, and he does that concerning spiritual gifts, wants to counterfeit what is genuine. Now, verse 3 says this, therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is accursed. That was happening in Corinth. And so you had this, it was kind of a free-for-all, and somebody was standing up in the church, and he was in some kind of, oh, I'm connecting with God here, I have a word here, and he would speak some kind of prophetic utterance, and in his utterance, he said, Jesus is accursed. And the word for accursed is anathema, which is the strongest word that you can use. Jesus be damned is what he would say, or what they said there. And the people said, well, it must be of God. That's what was going on in the church. And the people didn't know the difference. Why? Because they had opened wide the gates and said, well, it must be of God, because that person seems to be in some kind of frenzy, and I think they're getting some message from God. No one that says Jesus is accursed is speaking by the Holy Spirit. So what is the Lord saying? Be careful about spiritual gifts. I don't want you to be ignorant. I don't want you to be unaware, because not everything that's going on in the name of the Holy Spirit is done by the Holy Spirit. Do not believe every spirit, 1 John 4:1, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. So that's the first lesson. Spiritual gifts can be confused. Second lesson, spiritual gifts need to be properly understood. God wants us to understand about spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts are really important. Spiritual gifts are what the Holy Spirit gives to enable the church to do what the Holy Spirit wants the church to do. He does that through gifts. Now, what does it mean to have a spiritual gift? Let me share with you four characteristics about spiritual gifts. Number one, they are supernatural endowments and abilities. It's a supernatural thing that you're able to do because God has gifted you to do it. A supernatural endowment, a supernatural gift, a supernatural ability. Now, it's different from a natural proclivity. You know, some people just, they're born, they're good at math. Well, you say, well, that's my spiritual gift. I'm just good at math. That's not one of the spiritual gifts, is being good at math. That's a nice thing to be good at math. But just because you have a natural proclivity or a natural talent to something, don't confuse that with a spiritual gift. You know what I have a natural talent for? Criticism. That's not a spiritual gift, but I'm very good at it. I mean, it just comes to me like that. And so that's criticism, not one of the 21 spiritual gifts. But it's something that God does that's a supernatural thing. Now, sometimes it can fit in with the way you're naturally wired, and sometimes it is totally separate from the way you're naturally wired. I'll submit myself as an example. I do not like to speak in public. I get nervous speaking in public. I would be the last guy that anybody who knew me in before I became a Christian knew me just as, this is Jeff Shreven, the natural. Do you think he'll ever be a preacher and preach to crowds? No way. I mean, when they talked about giving an oral book report in school, I'd be like, how much is that worth of our grade? Can I take a zero and still pass this class? I just hated that. I didn't want to do that. And so my mom, my brothers and sisters, when they watch on television or live streaming or something like that, sometimes my mom will tell me, I'm just amazed that you can get up there and do that, because I never thought you could do that. You know, I mean, it's just, that's not you. That's a spiritual gift. And God has gifted me in this thing called prophecy, which is, some people say, well, that's to foretell the future. Prophecy is two things. It either means to foretell or it means to forthtell. I don't have the gift of prophecy where I can foretell and tell you what's going to happen next week. I have the ability, by God's grace, to forthtell. I have the ability to look at some scripture and put it together and share with you, this is what God says. And it's all a gift. It's not anything in me. Just kind of like with Samson. You know, Samson had a gift from God, and that was incredible strength. That was his gift. But it was all from God. And when he lost sight of that it all came from God, and he went to fight the Philistines in his own strength. Philistines are upon you, Samson. I will go out as at other times and shake myself free. And he did not know that the Lord had left him, and they bound him and gouged out his eyes and led him away to prison. That's what happens. You and I, we don't have any strength to do spiritual things, supernatural things, apart from the supernatural power of God. So that's what a spiritual gift is. It's a supernatural endowment and ability. Secondly, spiritual gifts are divinely distributed. It's not like a cafeteria where you say, well, there are 21 spiritual gifts listed in the Bible. Well, I'd like this one, and I'd like this one, and I don't really want that one. You know, Jeff, you can have the prophecy one. I don't really want to get up in front of people, but I like this one, and I sure like the gift of healing. Boy, I'm going to take that. I'm going to put a couple of those on my plate. It's not like that. Verse 11 says this, that one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as he wills. It's the will of the Spirit. It's the work of the Spirit. It's God, the Holy Spirit, he is the one who decides, I'm going to gift this person that way, and I'm going to gift this other person this way, and this other person this way. And he puts everything together. You know, the scripture goes on to say in 1 Corinthians 12, it likens the gifts to parts of the body. And it says, you know, we are the body of Christ. For by one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body. And they're different. Just like you have different members of a body, you have different gifts in the body of Christ. Now, we have, most of us in here, we have a right hand, we have a left hand. We have 2 feet, we have 2 eyes, 2 ears, nose and a mouth. We have different parts of the body. And we have things that you can see and things that you can't see. We have a liver. and lungs and kidneys and a heart. You can't see any of that stuff. Those are really, really important. Sometimes the things that you can't see are more important than the things that you can see. Same is true in the body of Christ. Now, we run into trouble when people don't use what God has given them to use, because then the body doesn't function right. We run into trouble when people say, well, you know what? I'm an ear, but I'd really rather be an eye. So it's like Mr. Potato Head. You stick the ear over here, and it's like, what's wrong with you? You're not going to be able to see well out of that, are you? Because God didn't make an ear to see. He made an ear to hear. And in Corinth, they got all hot to trot about certain kinds of gifts. And they said, that's the best. That's the one I want. All these other ones, they're not very important. Hey, the Spirit determines who has what. And to say that some gifts are greater than other gifts, they had it all flip-flop. You know, they said that the greatest gift was the one God says that's the least important. That's the least important. They said prophecy wasn't very important because prophecy came rationally. It was spoken rationally, and they said, rational, that's no, you don't want to be rational. If you're really going to get up there with God, you need to work yourself into this frenzy and be carried away, and then you can just say some things that God gives you. And so they would put ecstatic experience way above something like prophecy, and Paul flip-flopped that. He said, hey, prophecy is the most important thing because that is what helps people grow. So they're divinely distributed. Thirdly, they are given to promote unity, not disunity. Look at verse 4. There are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of ministries in the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. It's the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, God the Father. The Trinity is working through the gifts, and there are various gifts, variety of gifts, but there's one Spirit. There are varieties of ministries. You know, God gives you gifts, and then he gives you expressions to use those gifts that can be different. But it's the same God doing it all. It's the same God who is working all these things. And the gifts are given, just like to your body, to give unity, not disunity. Can you imagine what it would be like to live with disunity in your own body, where this right hand didn't like the left hand? I mean, and every time you turn around fighting, it's like, stop it, you know? Can you imagine if that were going on in your body, where this leg wanted to go that way, but this leg wants to go the other way? You would do the splits. If I did that, I would die. I can't do that at all. But you'd just be like Steve Martin was in the movie All of Me. You're kind of not able to go anywhere. And so God says, hey, I didn't give the gifts so that there would be disunity, so there would be confusion. God is the God of order. He's not the God of confusion, and he's definitely not the God of disunity. The devil likes to bring disunity. There was tremendous disunity going on in Corinth over the gifts. That's why 1 Corinthians 12 and 1 Corinthians 14 talk about gifts, and sandwiched right in the middle is 1 Corinthians 13, which is the love chapter, because they had lost love. And they would look at certain gifts as, my gift is better than your gift, and it created all kinds of dissension in the church. Fourth characteristic, they are given to build up the church. Verse 7, but to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For the common good. This is really, really important. You need to underline verse 7. Why does God give spiritual gifts? To build up the church. It's not for an individual. It's for the benefit of the church. See, God is not giving toys. He gives tools. If you think of spiritual gifts are like an electric drill, not like Xbox 360. You know, Xbox 360 is like, man, this is cool. This is for me. I can just play it all the time. That's not why God gives a spiritual gift. He gives it so you can use it to benefit others, to bless others for the common good. Literally, what that means for the common good is to bring together to profit. And that's why God gives gifts. It's just really, gifts are just kind of the life of Jesus manifested through the church. And not everybody has all the gifts, but every Christian has at least one. Because as each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another. Verse 7 says, but to each one is given that expression, manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So that's how God wants you to understand the gifts. And lesson number 3, spiritual gifts give evidence that the Spirit is at work. God works through the Spirit, through the power of the Spirit, through the gifts that the Spirit gives to individuals. Now, as I said, there are 21 spiritual gifts that are mentioned. They're mentioned here in 1 Corinthians 12. They're mentioned in Romans chapter 12. And they're mentioned again in Ephesians chapter 4, just briefly in Ephesians chapter 4. But they're different ones. And if you look at those, you can kind of put them in three categories. All 21 gifts, you can put them in three categories. They're assigned gifts, they're service gifts, and they're speaking gifts. And that's how God gifts. So let's look at the assigned gifts first. The assigned gifts are tongues, interpretation of tongues, miracles, gifts of healing, and probably a word of knowledge would be a sign gift. A word of knowledge is something that you didn't know that all of a sudden now you know it because God told you it. Peter's a good example of God telling him something that he didn't know. Ananias and Sapphira, Acts chapter 5, they lied about the gift that they brought, and Peter knew that they had lied to the Holy Spirit. Well, Ananias didn't tell him, Sapphira didn't tell him, God told him. It's a word of knowledge, and it was a sign that God is at work. So the sign gifts, they authenticate the work. That's the purpose of a sign gift, is to authenticate the work. Speaking in tongues in Acts chapter 2, what was that? What was the purpose of that? To get people's attention so that Peter could preach a message. And when they began to hear the people speaking in their known language, and they said, how do these Galileans, these Hayseeds, how do they know my dialect? Well, they didn't. God enabled them to speak that. They were speaking the mighty deeds of God in these known dialects, and the people were blown away, and they said, what does this mean? And then Peter was able to preach. It set the stage for preaching. The miracles that Jesus did, why did he do those? To authenticate who he was. Nicodemus figured that out. In John chapter 3, verse 2, Nicodemus comes to Jesus and says this, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. So that's what God uses sign gifts for, to authenticate the work, to get people's attention. Now, the problem that the Corinthians had and the problem that we have is we latch on to sign gifts. We like that because they're sensational, because that's a miracle. That is a healing. That is, oh, this person is speaking in this language that he doesn't know. Wow. And there's a wow factor associated with that. The Corinthians had a real problem with pride. And so those kinds of sign gifts really ministered to them in terms of, look at me. Man, look what I can do. Look what that guy can do. That's why they look down on Paul, because it's like, yeah, he's just a preacher. But this other guy, man, he's got all this mysterious stuff about him. He can do signs and wonders and miracles. Well, Paul could do all that too. His was genuine. His was true. But Paul didn't come there doing that stuff. He came there preaching. And they didn't think that was very much. But listen, God uses signs to authenticate the work. And that's why some people will say, and I'm not in this camp, but some people will say, you know, the sign gifts have fallen away. They're not for today. Because God doesn't need to authenticate the work today like he did back then, because we have the rest of Scripture. Now, if you go to other countries and you begin preaching, there are stories of sign gifts really coming down with that kind of preaching. Why? Because God is authenticating the work with those who have never heard. And God does use that. I'm of the opinion that God can do whatever he wants. But God is, he gives certain gifts to do certain things at certain times. It talks about gifts of healing and not just the gift of healing. I think that God gave Peter and Paul and some of those other guys the ability to heal, but not all the time. It was gifts of healing. They came at the time that God wanted that to come. Why do I say that? Because sometimes Paul left somebody sick. If you have the gift of healing, why would you leave your friend sick? Well, because that gift didn't always manifest itself. It was gifts of healing at specific times where Paul could do that and other times he couldn't do that. It was all led by the Holy Spirit. But sign gifts, it's all to point the way. They authenticate the work. And then there's speaking gifts. And what are speaking gifts and service gifts? What do? They strengthen the work. They build up the work. And so if you have the gift of teaching or the gift of prophecy or the gift of hospitality or the gift of encouragement or the gift of giving or the gift of faith, George Mueller was a man who had the gift of faith. He could believe God for huge things. Or you have the gift of discerning spirits, whatever. All that stuff helps the church to grow. It's not a sign gift. It's an edifying gift because it helps people grow. That's why Paul said prophecy is the top. Preaching, teaching, that's the top because that helps people learn about God so that they can grow. Look at this scripture in Ephesians chapter 4. It says that He gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers. For what purpose? For the equipping of the saints for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ. God uses me and others like me and other teachers in our church and speakers in our church to help you grow so that you can use your spiritual gift to build up the body. Now, I want to ask you as we kind of close out on spiritual gifts, what is your spiritual gift? What is your spiritual gift? You know, a lot of people don't know. For the longest time, I didn't know what mine was. Let me give you a real easy way to know what your spiritual gift is, to be able to figure out what your spiritual gift is. Your spiritual gift is something that you like to do. Something that you like to do. It's something that you're good at doing because the Holy Spirit has gifted you to do it, so you're good at doing it. And it's something that you are a blessing to others when you do it. So those three things, I like to do this, I'm good at this, and other people like to hear me do it. Other people like it when I do this. Why? Because you're operating, you're the ear that is operating in the realm of hearing, and other people say, boy, I really, you know, when you were over here, you didn't do very well, but man, when you got over here as the ear, you're great. You're a terrible seeing eye dog, but you're really good at hearing stuff because I'm an ear, right? And if you're an eye and you try and be an ear, you're gonna be terrible at that, but you're really good at being an eye. So you ask yourself, what do I really like to do? What really floats my boat in terms of service? And what am I good at doing? And what do other people say? Man, I really like it when you teach. I really like it when you sing. I really like it when you help. I really like it when you help me organize because you're so administrative. You're so good at that. Spiritual gift. Spiritual gift. Now, if you will start serving, start employing your gift. Say, God, what is my gift? God, I want to know my gift. God, I want to use my gift. If you will begin to do that, God will show you what it is.
You're listening to From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve. And today's lesson, the gifts of the Spirit. If you've listened today and wondered what your spiritual gift is, our prayer is that today you'd begin to find out what the Holy Spirit has uniquely gifted you to do within the body of Christ. And then use it to its full for His glory and your joy. Of course, all this month, Pastor Jeff has been teaching about the Holy Spirit, and there's so much confusion often concerning not only the gifts of the Spirit, but about the Holy Spirit in general. Who is He? What does He do? And how does He differ from Jesus? And how do I get filled with the Spirit? The confusion and fear about addressing this issue has caused some churches to keep a safe distance from talking about the Holy Spirit very much. They simply don't want to get involved. Well, Pastor Jeff has written a timely and straightforward booklet to begin the discussion called The Divine Helper, Uncovering the Mystery in the Ministry of the Holy Spirit. In it, he clears up much of the confusion and gives us some great wisdom and insight into how you can allow the Holy Spirit to control your life, providing freedom and forgiveness in Christ. This booklet, along with the 9-message series called The Unknown God, Discovering the Person and Power of the Holy Spirit, are our gifts to you this month for your support of any amount. You can get it in the format of your choice. To get these timely resources, call 866-40-BIBLE, 866-40-BIBLE, or simply go to fromhisheart.org to make your gift this month. Again, go online to fromhisheart.org or call 866-40-BIBLE. Thank you for joining us today on From His Heart. I'm Larry Nobles, trusting that you'll be with us next time when we get down to the really practical application of the Holy Spirit to your life in a message entitled, The Holy Spirit in the Life of a Christian. That's on Friday, right here on From His Heart. From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve, speaking the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember, no matter what, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out more at fromhisheart.org. www.spiritualgifts.org.